Amen. Let's. What about our worship team? Jesus has done enough. Well, good morning, church. It is so good to see you and worship with you this morning. Thank you, sir. I tell you what, I look forward to Sunday mornings. I really look forward to Sunday mornings. This church is truly a blessing, a gift to me and to my family, and we are so thankful for it. By the way, if you are new here or we've just never crossed paths, my name is Jimmy Smith. I have the privilege to serve on staff as one of the pastors. Hopefully, as you came in, you grabbed one of these. These are super informative. They have a lot of information about upcoming events and activities that are going on at the church. Really good to keep you up to speed on things. We also have our website, which is www.hpbc.cc. You can go there as well and get the lowdown on everything Highland Park Baptist Church. Hey, you may have noticed that Pastor Brent is in the house today. He is in the house, but he's not up here, so I'm sorry about that. That's because he, this morning, is spending some quality time with our new members, our incoming new members, getting to know them and teach them. In fact, you'll find this encouraging. We're about to be on the verge of welcoming close to 30 new brothers and sisters to our church family. Super exciting, super exciting. And speaking of church family, one of the things that, if you haven't already, you want to plan to be a part of is next week's Family Fun Fair. It's an event for everyone, children, students, adults, seniors, married, single. It doesn't matter. It's for everyone. And it's going to be a great time of food, fellowship, and fun. All right, so I think that about covers all our family business. So why don't we spend just a few moments in prayer before we dig into God's word? Amen? All right, let's do it. Father, thank you so much for this time of worship. Lord, that we are able to come into this place as your people, as your church, and lift up your name. Lift up your name through praises. Lift up your name through giving. Lift up your name through the study of your word. And then lift up your name through fellowship. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of Grow Groups, that we are able to not just come into the worship service, but we're able to go and really open up your word, study it with other brothers and sisters, and then also grow in fellowship. And so, Lord, I pray just in thankfulness for our Grow Groups, I pray both during the 9:30 and the 11 o'clock hour, Lord, that your hand be upon each of them. And so, Lord, as we turn to your word, Lord, I pray that you give us focus. Lord, give me the words to speak. Help me get out of the way so that these, your people, may be able to hear your truth and apply it to their lives. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so my assumption is a good number of you will probably already know this, especially if you're a science person and you really enjoy things like biology. But did you know that the human body is made up of somewhere between 60 and 70% water? Yeah, that's a lot. In fact, studies have shown that we can live up to an entire month without food, but only live about 3 to 5 days without H2O. This is why physicians and nutritional experts will highly recommend that we drink about 8 glasses a day, which is the equivalent of about 7 gallons a month, which is a lot if you think about it. But when we consider that every bodily function, whether it's our digestion, our blood circulation, even physical growth, just to name a few, require water, this begins to make a lot of sense. Which leads me to ask this. Who here has ever experienced dehydration? And I'm not talking about just feeling thirsty. I'm talking about terrible headaches, extreme fatigue, blurred vision, just being disoriented. How many have you experienced that? Okay, there's a few. There's a few. Well, here, that for me has only happened one time. It's happened one time in my life. It actually happened a few years ago. As many of you know, I absolutely love the outdoors, and I love doing things like trail running. I love camping. I love hiking. Just throw me out in the woods and give me the right equipment, and I'm a happy man. Well, over the past few years, a close friend of mine who's also a member of this church, well, we've begun to take backpacking trips. And anybody backpack? Yeah, there's a few of us. It's like camping on steroids. Camping on steroids. And on this particular trip, my buddy and I set out to cover about 36 miles over a weekend. So we start on Friday and we end on Sunday. And keep in mind, we're carrying about 40 to 45 pounds on our back. It's like carrying a six-year-old the entire trip. And about 7 pounds of that weight is our water supply. And so in your pack, there's a specific place in your pack where your reservoir goes, a tube comes out, and then really you can just, you have a bite valve, and then you can kind of sip or keep hydrated throughout the day. It's all designed to deliver quick and convenient hydration, which is obviously an essential to any backpacking trip. I mean, really, in a way, you ought to pre-plan all your water stops before you even put a foot on the trail. It's that important. Yeah, even then, you have to be careful that you always kind of keep this balance of always keeping enough water on you and drinking enough, because you never know when those water sources will not be available. And like, I've come across them where they've dried up, they're not accessible, maybe they're polluted. So there's always this tension. There's always this tension of keeping hydrated while avoid ever running out of water, which is a quandary you never want to find yourself in the middle of the woods. So that's some background information. So on this particular trip, I end up conserving a little too much water. And I didn't drink enough. Looking back, it was probably the cooler temps. This was in mid to late September. So usually when you're sweating, it's a good reminder that you need to keep drinking. And I wasn't sweating that much. So unfortunately, as we approached the end of day two, about 24 miles in, it all caught up to me. It all caught up to me. And suddenly I was overly fatigued. Like, I had not felt this way ever before. My muscles were cramping. My heart was racing. No matter what I did, I could not slow my heart and catch my breath. I even experienced some blurred vision. And so all I really wanted to do was lay down. I knew I was in trouble. In fact, I was in such bad shape, we ended up having to call off the remainder of the trip, had to call someone, because again, we're in a point-to-point, you start here and you end here, and we kind of finished right here, and so we had to call someone to come and get us, which is embarrassing, all because my body wasn't getting the water it needed. All because my body wasn't getting the water I needed. And now, why am I sharing this with you? Well, it's certainly not to build up my reputation or ego. But here's why. Just as we have physical bodies, Scripture also tells us that we're spiritual beings. And just as water is undeniably essential to our physical condition, a right relationship with God is vital to a healthy soul. In other words, we need him to avoid spiritual withering. And if you're wondering what this looks like, this is when Jesus is the center of our desires, our decisions, our hopes, our dreams, our entire life. That's what it looks like. And when he is, we will then understand why King David says, God, your steadfast love is better than life. We will then understand why he says that. Now, that being said, it is my fear that there are some of us here, or maybe even watching, who have a sincere belief of God in their heads, but they lack any passion for him in their hearts. So let me put it this way. Do we truly believe that we absolutely need Jesus? Do we really believe that? Because I tell you what, we don't want to miss out on the complete satisfaction that God has designed for us in our daily relationship with Him. So as His people, as His church, how do we maintain a vibrant, a thriving, a flourishing relationship with God? Well, I'm so glad that you asked. Because this morning I want to show you three characteristics of a healthy relationship with God. Three characteristics of a healthy relationship with God. So if you would, go ahead and open up your Bibles and turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you. I encourage you to grab that one. Open it up to page 479. There you'll find Psalm 63. I'm going to give you a moment to get there, because I really don't want you to miss this. I tell you, I've truly, truly enjoyed studying this passage. You may notice at the very top of this psalm, it says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, twice in scriptures, we find David running for his life in the wilderness. One, when Saul was the king and he was chasing David and trying to kill him. And then secondly, when David was the king and his son Absalom was trying to kill him. And now, most scholars believe David likely penned this psalm during the latter incident. And there are several reasons why, but mainly because David refers to himself as the king in this psalm. Meaning, here we find David, who is separated from his throne, he's separated from his city, and he's separated from the temple, the very place where God's glory dwelt among his people and where David routinely worshiped. And instead, we find him on the run for his life in the middle of a desert, trying to avoid the sword of his very own blood. For my music fans out there, Loretta Lynn, a country music legend, had a song, Hurtin' for Certain. That's exactly where David is right now. He is hurting for certain. These were dark and difficult days. But you know what, church? As I've dug into this text and I've looked at it, I've studied it, I've prayed through it, I've asked myself this question, and now I ask you, hearing everything that David was going through at this particular time, what song would your heart be singing if you were in David's place? What song would your heart be singing if you were in David's place? Oh, woe is me. Or here we go again. Or Lord, why do you always allow these things to happen to me? Do you even care? Or am I, I'm just done. I'm done. What would your song be? My hope and prayer for me and for all of us is that we would sing a tune a lot like David's. And for that reason, I want us to take a look at it. Verse 1. I'm going to read through the entire thing, and then we'll just kind of unpack it from there. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. And when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth, and they shall be given over to the power of the sword, and they shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. So the first truth I want to bring to your attention is this: a healthy relationship with God will desire him. A healthy relationship with God will desire him. Right off the bat, notice David doesn't call out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the God of Israel, as we often see in the Old Testament, but rather he says, "Oh God, you are what? You are my God. You are my God." This points to a very, very close relationship. You see, we worship a God who can be known personally, friends. We can know God, and he is not some indifferent, out-of-touch, long-bearded grandfather figure who's sitting in heaven just letting things happen. No, he is a God who is intimately aware and actively involved. He is our Abba, Father. And David goes on to say, "God, earnestly I seek you. Earnestly I seek you." Maybe you've never experienced this, and you're a lot more put together than I am, but there's nothing like the feeling of a fervent and panic search for your wallet, your phone, your keys. It happens to me on occasion, and it's kind of like you can't get your mind off of anything else except that one thing, and you're wondering where it is. Well, that's exactly what's going on with David here. All he's focusing on is God himself. That's all he wants to do. That's what's going on here with David. He goes on to say, "My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you." He actually compares his spiritual condition to the Judean wilderness he's retreated to, which, as you can see from behind me, is an extremely harsh and barren land. So he's in a tough spot, both literally and figuratively. And basically, what David is getting at is that his whole being, his entire life aches for God. Now, if we stop and we really listen to what David is saying here, I mean, he sounds a whole lot like an addict, right? He does. I mean, someone who has this all-consuming desire and quest for one particular thing. As for David, that thing he was obsessed with was a person, and that person is God himself. He was obsessed with him. He was obsessed with God. My friends, this is precisely what biblical faith is supposed to look like. God should be our obsession. Remember, Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, obviously, we know from scriptures we're supposed to honor our parents and we're supposed to love our spouses and our children, but the point is our desire for God should be so great that our love for everything else should look like hate. Why? Because the nourishment of God's presence and his relationship is better than life. That's why Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Brothers and sisters, only Jesus can bring true spiritual refreshment. And because of that truth, our lives should demonstrate an obsession for him. That we want him more than anything else. That we are in love with him. Like David, our soul pants for him. Our entire being aches for him. So let me ask you this. Is Jesus the apex of all your desires? Is he? And I'm not just asking generally. I'm asking each one of you. Is Jesus the apex of your heart's desires? Do you want him more than anything else? Because he should be. He should be. And I'll tell you this, that this desire that we see from David, and this desire we're talking about, there's always more because God is an infinite person. So if we think that we've reached some level of maturity in our walk with Christ and we can just kind of put it in neutral and coast, listen, can I remind you, David, a man considered after God's own heart, still thirsted for more. Church, we must make God our obsession. So a healthy relationship with God will desire him. Secondly, a healthy relationship with God will delight in him. A healthy relationship with God will delight in him. Verse 5, David sings out, my soul will be satisfied. I absolutely love the contrast here. David goes from thirsting for God in verse 1, we see his desire, to complete satisfaction in God in verse 5. We now see his delight. And I love how this verse goes on to say, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. Now, I've been here a little over 10 years now, and I've had the privilege to break bread with many of you. And there's one thing I know that we have in common, is that we enjoy a good meal. And so I'm curious, if you could choose, what food would you find most satisfying? I know for some, it's a nice, big, old, fat, juicy burger. For others, it's a nice prime meal, a prime rib dinner. Others may enjoy a seafood platter loaded with lobster and crab legs and shrimp and fish. But if you were to ask me, I would say, and I think maybe some of you already know this, there's nothing like a full plate of smoked barbecue. Give me some beef brisket, some pulled pork. Again, I am a happy man. Talk about a feeling of satisfaction. Well, get this. Just as we often feel physically after eating one of those rich, delicious meals, so David felt spiritually feasting on the Lord's presence. And we can't miss this. That of all times, it's during a time where David is in the middle of a storm, a trial, a hardship, and he yet still says, God, my soul is satisfied. I have peace. My heart is at rest because of you. And keep in mind, not once do we ever get the sense that David pursues God because it's something he has to do or he needs to do. It's never out of duty, but out of pure delight. Brothers and sisters, may I ask, where do you seek your satisfaction? Where do you seek your satisfaction? Is it occupational success? Is it your address or addresses for some of us? Is it an education, a child's success, our physical condition, our good looks, our relationship, a marriage? What's parked in the garage for some of us? A hobby? Listen, all good things. Or do we find our satisfaction in the giver of these gifts? Do we find it in Jesus? Do we want Christ more than any of the comforts and possessions this world has to offer? Because let me tell you, all those things, they fade. Health will fade, good looks will fade, toys break, jobs are lost, children can wander. We can go on and on and on, but let me tell you, there's nothing sweeter. Nothing sweeter when we go through those hardships and those trials, when all those things kind of fade. There's nothing sweeter than being able to look up and see the giver is still present. Listen, I get it. I get it that all of us have these appetites. But we can either spin our wheels just trying to satiate those cravings with all these things, or we can turn to Christ who can truly satisfy. In fact, Jesus tells us in John 6, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger. He will not hunger. Whoever believes in me will not thirst. Church, when our satisfaction is found in Christ, not only will we have a healthy relationship with God, the God of the universe, the one who created you, who provides for you, who protects you, who loves you, he will be glorified, which is our ultimate purpose in life, right? That's why we exist, is for his glory. So a healthy relationship with God will desire him. A healthy relationship with God will delight in him. And a healthy relationship with God will depend on him. depend on him. Verse 7, David says, "For you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy." Remember, this is King David, of all people, the man who defeated Goliath, who conquered numerous enemies of Israel, who established Jerusalem as the capital. And I mean, think about it, one of the best resumes in the entire scriptures. And yet he here is showing this humble recognition for God's help and protection. He says, "I'm like a baby bird that seeks the shelter under his mother's wing." He goes on to say, "My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." David depended on God. David depended on God. In fact, he goes on to predict three things about his enemies. He says, I predict their death, verse 9, their defeat, verse 10, and the discontinuation of their lives, verse 11. And while David had no circumstantial assurance that these things would actually occur, it really shows his outright reliance upon God. My friends, as we read and relate to this passage and we attempt to apply it, this truth to our lives, I'm pretty sure none of us will ever experience being dethroned, exiled, and hunted. I hope not. But that doesn't mean that we're immune to the harsh realities of life. I mean, I could go on and list maybe several bad scenarios, and maybe perhaps one of them would hit you. But let's face it, this last year and a half has been hard. It's been hard. And maybe you weren't affected all that much by it. But I will tell you what, there has been a season in your life where you felt bruised, battered, and beaten. And church, may I remind you, in those moments, he wants us to cling to him. He wants us to depend on him. I love one of the commentaries and how it described this very situation. It says that with God, experiences in the wilderness become experiences of worship. And it's true. I mean, just look at David. Verse 3 says, "My lips will praise you." Verse 4, "I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands." Verse 5, "My mouth will praise you with joyful lips." Verse 11, "The king," again, he's referring to himself here, "shall rejoice in God." Basically, our response is living out Romans 12, that every facet of our lives should give glory to him. And when we come in on Sunday mornings, it's simply a culmination and celebration of our lifestyle of worship. Which, by the way, something else I just want to encourage us. Hey, for those who have children who are school age, and I'm one of them, I am so thankful for our children's programming. Loving staff in Sue, Nancy, and Marilyn. We have amazing volunteers, which we still need some. So if you still are avoiding that nudge that the Spirit's given you to plug into serving in children's ministry, please, we need you. But we also have fantastic curriculum. We have the Gospel Project on Sundays, and we have Awana on Wednesdays. But here's my encouragement to my fellow parents, especially of those who are parents of school-aged children. Let's not have them miss out worshiping with us. Let's not let them miss us basking in the grace and greatness of God. They need to see their parents experience the joy of worshiping. They need to. I believe if we do that, the cumulative effort over time is something we cannot measure. It's extremely vital to have that understanding as a child. So, brothers and sisters, how is it with you and God? How is it with you and Jesus? Perhaps you're here and you're thinking, all right, so how is it with me? And you think, okay, well, I'm regularly attending. I'm serving on a regular basis. I'm consistently giving, and that's great, but that's not what I'm asking. How are you and Jesus day by day? Are you desperately in love with him? Is Jesus the obsession of your life? Do you desire him with all your life? Do you delight in him more than anything else? Do you depend on him in every circumstance? Earlier, I was describing my backpacking mishap. And you know, there was nothing wrong with my backpack. There was nothing wrong with my water supply. But rather, it was completely my lack of consumption. And that's why my entire body gave out. My entire body gave out. Listen, God has provided us the means to stay healthy spiritually. He's given us an open line of communication through prayer. He's given us his very word. He's given us brothers and sisters who can live out the one another's, where we can receive encouragement, we can receive prayer, we can receive instruction, among many other things. But if we're not maintaining our relationship with Christ through these marvelous gifts, we will wither. Let's love Jesus. Let's love Jesus. Let's be a people who thrive in our relationship with God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I know we come to you this morning as a group, but Lord, you know that I needed to be reminded of this truth. So Lord, I pray, whether it's a boy or a man or a woman, Lord, I pray that we become on fire for you. Lord, that the joy of our life is clear, and that is you. And that our neighbors see it, our coworkers see it, our family sees it. So, Lord, I pray that you do a work in our hearts. And Lord, for someone who may never have experienced this satisfaction that you bring, Lord, I pray that you allow them to come, that they trust in Jesus. So Lord, we love you. We thank you so much. We praise you in the precious name of Christ. Amen.